Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Is Arizona State a football team?
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Welcome back to the one and only Dog Pod. This is our first big show of 2019. It's spring ball. I'm here with Mitch. I'm here with Log Dog. You guys ready to rock and roll? All right, Blaster, set the sun. Let's do this. Let's talk some Husky football, guys. So we should go through spring football. We finished the spring show, spring program. A lot of research on this, position by position. Let's preview what this team is going to look like to get things started. Start with the wideouts.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. So let's talk about our ones and get some notes on these guys. Now, this is what, obviously, UW has not released a depth chart. This is what we'd call the Dog Pod depth chart. But let's go through this. If we talk about the ones.
Unofficially
the ones. Sure. This is the Dog Pod ones. We think we're looking at Aaron Fuller, Andre Bocellia, Ty Jones being your ones, your twos, Jordan Chen, Terrell Bynum, Marcus Spiker. Probably put Chico in there as the two as well. Maybe Chico's a two over Jordan Chen, and then Austin Osborne. That is our crew. Let's talk a little bit about...
don't forget about Quentin Pounds.
And Quentin Pounds, who, you know, absolutely. And Quentin Pounds, who did not play in spring. Let's talk a little bit about it. What do you think about this wide receiver class? Because as a lot of people said, look, this is going to be a down year. You're going to have trouble. You know, we're graduating. You know, we don't have the John Ross, don't have the Dante Pettises. But look, we've got a lot of returning crew.
Everyone's returning. Yeah, I think Fuller, Jones, those guys played a lot last season. So did Pounds. McClatcher, kind of something weird going on at the end of the year. He seems to be welcomed back with open arms. I think we're going to see all four of those guys quite a bit, actually. I would make those guys kind of your one. Maybe Fuller's your one, and then the other guys are your 1A, 1B, 1C kind of thing. I think they're going to mix it up quite a bit. In terms of spring ball, I feel like Austin Osborne is kind of the guy who had that best spring. And I think we're probably going to, just from a consistency perspective, and you know Peterson's going to like that, right? Like if one of these guys like is a better blocker, that's going to go heavily into their consideration, right? So I think we could see a big mix. And you didn't even mention Puka Nacua, who's obviously in spring ball, so there was no reason to mention him. But he's a guy who everyone's saying could be very ready and emerge as kind of a potential playmaker. So, you know, they've got lots of choices. No graduations.
Right.
I mean, this is what you want to see. This is development time now.
Yeah. You know, the question is who's going to take that next step, right? You know, look, like this has just got to be another concern going into next year, kind of like it was last year. You know, you're hoping Jay could throw some of those guys open, but let's be honest, there just wasn't a lot of separation last year with this receiving core. So, you know, you got a new wide receiver coach in, right? Junior Adams. So you hope that he can do a little bit more out of the position, get a little more out of it. But I think this is going to be really key. It's going to be a testament to this staff if that position could take a step forward. They really are coaching these guys up, right? And, you know, one last point there is it was great to see Austin Osborne kind of take that step forward, it looked like, in spring ball, right?
That's right.
Like, that's a really great thing. I am a little disappointed that Marcus Spiker didn't do that, right? Was kind of waiting for him to really show up. And we were kind of talking about it a little bit. We're going to get into this a little more, but I'm starting to get a little nervous for him that, you know, he's one of these highly regarded guys, highly recruited. Could his name start showing up in the transfer portal, unfortunately, if he's got this adversity, if he's buried in this depth chart? It doesn't seem like he's getting enough scratch
Paul Camp will be big for him.
Feels like it.
Nakua's role could play heavily in that. If he's passed him by that point, I think you might be right.
So one thing I will say, word inside the camp is that everyone loves the new wide receivers coach, and the only dig is that this move probably should have happened a year ago. I think we heard about some of the wide receiver discontent with the coaching last year, and that there was people who said if there's any coach that the players weren't really listening to, and there was some bad blood, maybe that was where it was. So I think with Junior Adams, you definitely have a step up. So in the spring game, just real quick, we didn't see Ty Jones. We did not see Coupon, so we didn't see Quentin Pounds, and we did not see Fuller. Before we go off these guys, I want to talk a little bit about the passing tree, et cetera. We probably should just go tight end as well, because we use these guys like them as well. Kate Otten, Hunter Bryant, absolute standouts. And then, you know, the twos, Jacob Kaiser and Devin Culp. Kate Otten, I think for all of us, the surprise of last year.
Yeah.
Stepped absolutely up. Hunter Bryant, if that guy can stay healthy, what a weapon. Anything else you guys want to say about the tight ends?
Dude, I'm pumped. Like, all four of these guys. I was excited for Culp last year to see if he popped in there a little bit. Sounds like he had a pretty good spring.
And the guy returned kickoff.
Right, in high school.
Now, Bryant is the playmaker, right? Otten might be maybe your most balanced guy, but, I mean, in terms of who I'm planning on as an opposing coach, I'm scheming around Hunter Bryant, right? So that's the guy we all want to see, especially connecting with Easton. They were definitely going to each other a fair amount in the spring preview. So, and just over the course of spring ball, it sounded like Easton was really looking for him. So I think that's going to be a connection to watch, and it could be something exciting.
I'm pretty stoked about this. If you guys saw, Iowa had two tight ends drafted in the first round of the NFL.
How sweet
would it be if we've got two tight ends that are streaking down the field, giving our QBs that much more open targets that we can really rely on, right?
And Drew Sample almost made it into the first round.
Yeah.
Wasn't that far.
Well, look, I think Hunter Bryant can even smoke you on a go route. Kate Otten seems to be those seam routes of things that I saw, and where he just settles in and finds space and has very sure hands. And he's all like anything where he needs to use his height over you. I mean, if he ends up getting a mismatch on some 5'10 corner, all day, just hit him.
And he has played his way onto the field. Nobody was talking about him a year ago.
Yeah, dude.
And he has absolutely earned his way on the field. And it just makes – that's another position where you can feel really good about it.
BT, it's Tumwater. It's in the water.
It's the old Olympia Brewery, right?
It's in the water.
It's in the water, Tumwater. You can't – now, don't try to swim in it, listeners. But the one I'll talk a little bit about the game that I – excuse me, the practice that I saw. I was able to go to the coaching clinic, and pretty incredible experience. Got to spend an hour each with running backs coach, offensive coordinator Bush Hamden, and then it should surprise no one, I went to an hour of the strength training and got super meaty with Saha and everybody, and that was freaking cool. But so Bush Hamden, he talked a lot about how his philosophy on passing, and none of this is a secret. His whole thing is really interesting. Of like he basically said his whole philosophy has changed over the last 2 years, and that his no-nos of what he talks about is no overthrows and no out of bounds. All I care about, no overthrows and no out of bounds. And this is his thought, is like what your initial reaction is these big, long go routes, stretch them out, drag your feet into the out of bounds. And like, look, if you have a John Ross or someone who can do this, that's great. But otherwise, say, how can I evaluate what wide receiver I'm supposed to play unless you give them a chance to make the pass? And all I want is the ball within their catch radius. Not that they have to jump over the middle, not that they have to dive out of bounds, not that they have to blow someone with a 4.240, but get it within their catch radius. You know what's going to happen? You're either going to get a PI or you're going to make a completion. Like, that's it. And that's all. Like, these little 20s and 30s, 20s and 30s all day. And he showed film over and over and over of how mad he was, where he's like, you miss a guy on a go route or you overthrow him, the thing that pisses him off the most is not only like that you didn't put it in his race, but I guarantee, look, 15-yard route under, open. 20-yard route, open. Like, all of that stuff is open all day, and I want to look at that. The other thing he talked about, which was really interesting, was however many like receivers he's on the field, like how simplistic in his offensive scheme. It's like 60% of the plays, that's one. It's going to the one. Like, whatever else I'm doing is I'm sending receivers all over just to try to figure out and putting people in motion to figure out whether you're in man or whether you're in zone. Mm. Like, that's all your job is. Like, literally, or maybe you're blocking downfield, but like simplistic is then 20% of the plays I'm going to go, or excuse me, like 30% of the plays I'm looking at two receivers, and 10% I'm looking at one. Like, that's it. You can't, like with college quarterbacks, you can't say, look, four man route tree, hit the open guy. Like,
no, your progressions.
You're going here, and if you're not, you're going here, and get it into the guy's catch radius. And it makes sense of like, yeah, if he can actually do that and do it well, like that's money all day. But,
well, it sounds like Jake Browning would have been a pretty good fit for this. And, you could see what attracted them about Browning, and maybe that's what's attracted to him about Hayner. Personally, I think if Jacob Eason is the starter, as we expect him to be, and we'll get to that in a second, I want to see him throw some go routes. Otherwise, what is the point of having that huge arm? So, Bush, I think, has I don't doubt that he knows football. I don't doubt that Peterson and he are a good team, or that he's a good developer, any of that. But I do think he has something to prove based on what we saw last season.
But when he talks about a go route, you agree, is what he talks is like these 40 yards, but that's still, like the fallacies, you still put it in his catch radius. Don't make him accelerate the last 5 yards and fingertip the thing or going out of bounds. Like, send him 40 yards and put it in his catch radius. And usually, even if it's a turn, paid, whatever, like, let him get to the ball and make the play, where he talked about putting the spotlight on the wide receiver. Like that's the Husky receiving traditions. Put the spotlight on the receiver versus the quarterback trying to make him make some incredible seam throw, cutting through, wide and through people. Just put it on the receiver. And then he's right. Like at the end of spring ball, if you do that enough times, you're going to know who can catch and who can't, who can play and who can't. But if you're overthrowing guys all the time, like, I mean, how do you know?
Give yourself a chance.
Yeah, give yourself a chance.
That's what he's advocating.
But I think we would all say, like, not as concerned about, like, is someone up that we think we have the next John Ross right now? If we do, we probably don't know. But I don't think any of us are really concerned. Like, the wide receiver spots with that much returning talent and the tight ends in the mix as well.
Yeah,
I'm not concerned about the hands.
I'm not worried about the tight ends. I am worried about the receivers. Like, somebody needs to progress, right?
If you have too many options, then it means you don't have a good one.
Right.
So you want to see that one.
Like, I can't point to that depth chart and say, oh, these guys are for sure better than these guys. I mean, look, Bocelli's got better speed. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen Jones make the great catches. I think Fuller and Pounds have shown that they have pretty reliable hands. But, like, does any of them put it all together? You know, we haven't seen that. Somebody's really got, I think I agree with Mitch, somebody's got to take a step forward for me to think of this as a strength. But definitely there is the talent there, and hopefully with some new blood in the coaching staff, that will propel it forward.
That's right. And I guess my position, and I hope I'm right here, but I don't know, is that I don't know who it's going to be, but I feel like we've got enough talent that it's going to be one of those fours. But
let's hope.
Let's talk about the running backs, and then we'll get into the line, and then, of course, we've got to talk about the quarterback situation. So running backs, number one, super easy. Salvon Ahmed coming back, the sophomore. You know, the two, is that going to be mostly like a Kamari Pleasant, but maybe them and McGrew is going to get some touches, and then Richard Newton as well. You guys want to talk about the running backs?
Yeah, I mean, from what I heard, Richard Newton really kind of beefed up. It sounded like him and Kamari have some real thunder, I guess, to Sean McGrew's lightning, right? So that sounds like a really positive development. And, you know, I'm not sure. Newton was banged up at the end of last year. Is that why we didn't see him? Something like that, right? There was something going on there. But it would be awesome to really see them have four backs that they feel like they can go to, because they're going to need to lean on them in various stages.
That's right.
I think next year for sure.
It just doesn't feel like they've given Ahmed a full load, right? They had no problem giving Gaskin 25, 30 carries when it called for it. We haven't seen them do that with Salvon when he's had a chance. You know, even towards the different points of last season. So I wonder about that. I do think we'll see a committee. Now, I predicted that going into 2 years ago, and LeVon Coleman didn't ever touch the ball. So, I always think they're going with the committee, but I really think this might be the year where we see that, because Ahmed's going to get his 15 touches. And hopefully, I think we're all hoping that it is a little bit more, but I think for some reason they're holding him back. It might be a physical thing, like they just don't want him to take that pounding. But I'm anxious to see. And I am excited about Richard Newton. I think that's kind of the guy that we've missed since LeVon Coleman is having a big bruiser.
A lot of Coleman.
Yeah, take on some contact, yeah.
Especially with this line, too, right? Like if they start grading the way that we're hoping that they do with the returning talent, I think that could be a really positive outcome there.
I think so. And again, I probably would take the other side of this. I think we're going to see Salvon be the true one as long as he can hold up. And he really does look like he's put on some size as well.
I hope it's the case. I don't think we've seen it, but I could be wrong. I hope I am.
Well, let's get into that. A great segue into the line. And I mean, look, this is a strength of our, there's no way you can say it's anything but a strength. Left tackle Trey Adams coming back. I mean, just all of our delight. Luke Wattenberg on the left guard. Nick Harris, he's your center. Jackson Kirkland, right guard. Jared Hilbers, right tackle. And even looking at the twos, Henry Roberts, great. Henry Benevalu, Cole Nargard is the center. MJ Ole, which, physical specimen. We don't know that much about him, but absolute physical specimen. And Devin Burleson, probably your twos on the right tackle. But there's no way you look at this and think this is not anything but a strength. I don't know what else, what more can we say about this?
Yeah, I mean, this is probably the best talent that's returning on the offensive line since maybe the 92 season. I mean, it is that you just, with the career starts you have from Wattenberg, Adams, Harris has already been all conference. Trey Adams has been all conference. Jackson Kirkland was the all freshman team last year. I mean, you know, this is the most talent we've had returning and experience, combination of that, in a long time. So I think we have high expectations of this group. Now, you know, Trey Adams is probably, a first round pick if he stays healthy. Harris is a senior this year. So you are going to see some turnover. I think on the backup side, I think we're probably most likely to see Roberts and Benevalu. I don't think we'll probably see any of those other guys unless it's at center, and Norgaard's clearly the two there. So, you know, I think they have a good rotation, though, good depth. A lot of these guys are four stars or better. So, we're making progress on those areas that we had so much trouble with over the years.
Yeah. I'm excited about the depth, to your point, right? Like, it feels like, hey, knock on wood, I think this is going to be a top two or three line in the conference. And if for some reason somebody goes down, in years past, you would cringe and be like, what's going to happen now? Like, they have some depth and they have some playing time experience, to your point, back there, right? With Biambalu and, some of the other guys. So I'm really excited, like Wattenberg, to see these guys take this next step. And I think, hopefully, this is a year, guys, where they really start leaning on teams in the second half and just grinding
and just
it
grind
out.
Yep.
Grinding
yep.
it out. Yep. Grind, grind, grind. So they're not putting all that pressure on the QB and those receivers. And it setting up the play action. I'm really excited for this line and some of those bigger backs to kind of hopefully pull this off.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, it's going to be so fun to watch. I think Nick Harris started against Alabama.
Dude.
Like, do you remember that? He did okay, but you definitely saw him as like, wow, he's young out there being asked so much of him.
260. Yeah.
260, and now coming in as a big junior. I mean, so look, this is good news for the quarterback and then some protection. This is great news for the run game. Let's talk about those quarterbacks. Okay, so one is Jacob Eason, your one. It seems like the Huskies have decided that Haener is your two. Jacob Sermon is your three. Ring the bells for Mr. Yankoff. No longer a Husky. Let's talk about those starters first.
And then Dylan Morris, right?
That's right.
Don't forget about Dylan.
That's right. He is out there as a 17, 18-year-old kid getting reps, too. So
I actually thought he looked better than Yankoff in the spring preview.
In the spring preview. Interesting.
When Yankoff said he was transferring, I mean, look, if you say, hey, you want to move to receiver or something, and he says, no, I want to be a quarterback, it's like, all right, best wishes, kid, you know. So maybe we'll get into that a little bit. But, Eason, I think, is the one we've all got our eyes on, so everybody's watching. I was trying to watch him every time he was out there. I mean, he is a full helmet taller than Jake Haener. I don't know how to describe it. You see them standing next to each other, and it's like, okay, that's the dad and that's the son. I mean, that's what it looks like out there. Haener is a small, short guy. And obviously we've seen quarterbacks succeed with small statures in the past. But, I mean, Jacob Eason looks the part, and he's got the arm for it. I don't see how they don't make him the number one. But, you know, coaches are mum, and I don't think we'll actually get something official on that until maybe 2 weeks or so before the first game.
They're going to make him earn it. Right? Like, yeah, that's certainly clear.
And I think that's fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. And saying to Jake Haener, hey, you've been a good member of this program, and we're going to give you a chance to earn the job. And just because this guy, you know, has five stars next to his name doesn't mean he knows this offense any better than you. And you make them earn it, and you go through that process. I just think, man, with the tools you've got, I mean, that's the guy you want throwing the ball if everything in his head is right. And he's started in the SEC. I mean, he held his own as a freshman. I don't think there's any reason to think that he's not, you know, going to be able to play at this level.
Yeah, I think the collective reasoning is the ceiling's just a lot higher, right? And, you know, absolutely, right? So, maybe even if Eason struggles a little bit to begin with, you're kind of looking at the bigger picture here, right? And saying, hey, you know, let's make sure we're kind of planning ahead investing for maybe a little bit longer run and a higher ceiling. So
I think that's where it gets really tough. If he comes out of the gate struggling, you got Cal in week two, a team that we struggled against last year. God. I mean, if this team doesn't look good on offense after those first 2 weeks, I mean, that's where it gets really, really tough, because if it's a coach, you're probably sitting there going, man, I kind of want to see Jake Haener now after what I've seen. And I hope that doesn't happen. I hope we're not.
God, that's a nightmare scenario to me, as we struggle in Cal, and then when the Haener comes in and something crazy happens.
We've seen it before. Look, I'll just say this. Your offensive line always takes more time to gel than does your defensive line, who's more reactive. But given the returners that we have, I think that these guys are going to have more time to make good decisions without worrying about, you know, just getting jacked by ends on every play. Eason is such a physical specimen, and when you see when actually the line stands up, and that's another thing, our offensive line is all like 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", across, and when they go up, I'm having watched, you know, I got to watch a full practice from the sidelines and stood behind the QBs, and like, I don't know how Hayner sees anything. I like the way Eason carries himself. He seems to be more quiet leadership, where Hayner's a little bit more yappy, you know, and has something to say after every play, whether he was involved in it or not. I thought Sermon looked good when we signed Sermon and Yankoff. I think all of us said the same thing of, hey, this is great. There's no way we keep both of them.
Yep.
There's no way. And if you look at the type of a system from a dual threat, unless we're going to completely change our offense, it doesn't really fit in unless it's, you know, it's something we're going to do from a scheme perspective. So, look, I think we're all really excited to see Jacob Eason. All of us feel very positive about him. I still think that as much hype as there is around him locally, I don't think he gets enough due nationally. I think this guy is going to do incredible things. I'm super bullish on him. Do we want to talk a little bit about the transfer situation and what happened?
So, yeah, I mean, Jacob Sermon and Yankoff pretty much, you know, within hours after spring practice was over, said, hey, we're going to take a look at transferring. Sounds like the coaches met with Jacob Sermon at the very least and were able to talk him into taking his name out of the transfer portal. So he's going to remain at Washington. Colson Yankoff, though, from all accounts, is basically headed out elsewhere, and we just don't know where yet.
Did you hear about how they found out about it? So they're at an event.
By logging in
to the transfer portal? Both of them were out with a bunch of teammates at Avengers Endgame.
Oh, yeah.
And then come out of the movie, and then their phones are blowing up. They hadn't told their teammates, and both of them were like, yeah, like, now I got to tell the teammates. And ooh, Sermon's dad,
awkward.
Yeah, had some interviews, and, you know,
yeah. he's a professor at the university.
And right. was speaking publicly.
His cousin is a linebacker, you know, on the team. He's got the roots. I mean, Sermon, I think it was probably a much tougher decision for him, which is why he rescinded and said, hey, I'm going to stick around. And frankly, he's got a great shot at being the backup at some point. And he may even have a great shot at being the starter. I mean, look at it this way. If Eason has the year you're talking about, and he's awesome, he could be gone in the NFL next year. And then it's Hayner, Sermon, and Dylan Morris fighting the starting spot. I'm not writing off Jacob Sermon in that situation.
Yeah,
I would give him the advantage from what I saw.
Yeah. So I think he's got a lot still to play for, and he's a Husky, you know? He wants to be a Husky. So that must have pained him, but I'm glad that he's sticking around. I think he could still contribute to the program.
Conspiracy theory. I know exactly what happened. Him and Yankoff had a deal to say, hey, if we're at least not number two, we're out of here. Let's go in the transfer portal. And Sermon said, yeah, wink, wink, wink. Fingers crossed behind his back. You first. Sorry, changed my mind.
My shoelaces were crossed. Yeah. Gotcha.
Look, for Colson Yankoff, this may be exactly the right decision, right? Maybe he's looking around this QB room and saying, man, how am I going to beat all of these guys? Maybe not just one-on-one against one of these guys I could beat him, but all these guys. And, you know, the pipeline is continuing. Sam Heward's on the way, and you know, so there's a lot of reasons, I think, for a guy to want to transfer, and you can't blame Colson Yankoff for looking for a better situation for himself either.
He won the cone drill. Mm-hmm. He's a physical.
Right. I mean,
this guy is an athlete. Like, if I'm him, I want to go to Air Force. I want to go
Nebraska.
Somewhere in Nebraska. I want to show off my talents. I'm like, I don't blame the guy. And the one thing I will say on the end of this, and we'll get into this when we talk about recruiting, is that if you're that Husky fan who's out there talking trash on Twitter and saying, calling for Coach Pete's head because we lost two quarterbacks in a transfer portal, go screw yourself. You're not a real Husky. Like, that was the most annoying piece of that is fan behavior after these guys, you know, A, like directing it back at the kids who decided to transfer, and B, using that as like, oh, it's over. It's, you know, the sky's falling, you know, calling for Coach Pete's head. What are you fucking nuts? I mean, I think it's only because of today's media where that person even gets a smidgen of a voice, but it's just annoying to me.
Well, like, and the transfer portal has kind of made this, like, watching it, you know, this whole parlor game in itself. And so, you know, people are just waiting for bad news, and when it hits, they want to tell everyone, I saw the sky falling before you did.
Well, but it's not, and that with the way the transfer portal is now and how easy it is to transfer, it's not a Husky thing. This is a national thing that's going to happen in football. We're going to lose people to the transfer portal. It's
exactly
how it goes.
But we got a good one.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, quite frankly, like, that means that they're recruiting higher end guys, in my mind, right? And so you're going to have some attrition, to your point. Law Dog, you're going to also have some, you know, kind of positive impact from that. I guess the one last thing, though, is, you know, you see some of the tweets around, like, oh, kids just aren't made the same way, you know, kind of that kind of stuff. Oh, that would never happen in my day. Like, that's kind of one of those things where, like, when you get old, I think you just get jaded a little bit and you don't understand. Right. Like, things are just different. Like, it is different now at that
get
age.
On board.
And quite frankly, like,
it's better for the kids.
It's better for the kids, and I'm okay with it. You go to college to prepare yourself for a professional degree, right or wrong. Or sorry, professional career, right or wrong. Some of these kids are saying, hey, my career goal is to go to the NFL, right? If you're buried in a depth chart, how is that helping you, right? It's not. So there's a reason that is there. It's a tool to be used in a positive way to give kids a little bit more options. And I don't think that's a bad thing because coaches can pick up and leave whenever they want. And you know what? That leaves all those kids in the lurch,
totally,
right?
Agree.
So,
are those same fans going and saying, oh, I want to go back to the days before free agency?
Right, right.
Right,
the players
right.
just have to sign with the same team or retire.
Like, yeah.
You know, give the players some agency, some choice, some control over their destiny, because exactly what Mitch is saying, it's their life, it's not yours.
Agreed. So guys, should we get into that defense?
Let's do it. Let's get off our soapbox. We've got to get off our soapbox.
Let's get it. It's been too long. Defensive line. So, man in the middle, the big returner, Levi Onwuzurike. This guy, he's been my guy for years and love him. Betting Potawai, probably one of our other starters, Josiah Bronson, our third. Now, if we look at, because typically they're just running three up front. And if you look at the twos, Tulela Tuligasanoa, Sam Taimani, and maybe John Clark, Jacob Bandis, a physical specimen. We just don't know enough about him. So again, I probably say, look, outside of Levi, Benning too. Benning's a great
player.
They moved him into the interior D line.
The guy's been a starter for a couple of years. It seems like that's where he's headed. Levi, I think you're right though. Those two guys are probably the solid starters. And then I think everywhere else in that group, it's kind of up for grabs. The guy who had the big rise in the spring was Sam Taki Taimani.
That's right.
Everyone's been talking about him, so I think we could see him on the field for sure. And Latuli Gasanoa, got a fair amount of playing time last season. I think we will.
Yep.
These guys can play up to four games now and still keep their red shirt. So he played all four of those.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit light on the experience compared to what we've been used to, but Onwuzurike is definitely a proven commodity and a guy who, now that he's playing three downs, I think is going to be a much more impactful player. Mm-hmm. I think he didn't kind of play as a full-time guy last season.
This is going to be a really interesting group to watch as the season progresses. My prediction is they're going to get better and better as the season goes on.
Mm-hmm.
I think these guys are going to get coached up. I think Malloy is a really good, really good coach. And I just think, they've got good depth. And these guys, I'm excited to watch them take the next step. Right, and I think Bandis was banged up a little bit. Right, wasn't he injured?
Well, I don't think he's reported yet.
No, he has.
Okay, so he didn't.
But he was banged up. Quite a bit in spring practice.
The other guy we talked about was Sama Pa'ama, right? Who's like kind of the physical specimen of that group, who's still going to be 18 years old.
That's right. Yeah.
So, they have recruited that position as well as any position on the field. So we know there's tons of talent at that spot. It's just a matter of kind of who is ready to take the field and hold their own against, Pac-12 competition.
And when Vita Vea left, I think we were all incredibly concerned, and we knew we had something in Greg Gaines, but I think he even showed and then was paid as such, but showed that he is absolutely legit a national player. And I think Levi's probably going to do the same thing. Tough losing Greg Gaines, but
the depth is starting to be tested in a way it hasn't. It's been tested, and we're going to get into the pass rush side of things a little bit. That's an area where it was really lacking last season. I actually expect them to take a big step forward. But the run stuffing that Gaines and Vea gave you, I'm not looking at this depth chart and just saying, I feel great about it. We have to see, but I do like where they've recruited.
It's weird. We were talking about the receivers earlier. For whatever reason, I feel more confident in this group some people take the next step than I did with the receivers, right? Yeah. So it's interesting.
Similarities,
but for whatever reason, I'm more excited about some of these guys progressing in there.
And we'll get into the secondary and others, but these guys are helped by the fact that, when the quarterbacks look down the field, like, nobody's open.
Yeah,
which helps out. Let's talk a little bit about that edge pressure. So outside linebackers, Joe Tryon, Ryan Bowman, probably our ones if we look at that. Miles Rice, Ariel Nagata. Ariel Nagata gets a lot of talk, but that's where our pressure is going to come from a little bit from the outside linebacker side. Do we want to get into these guys a little bit? What do you think?
Well, Bowman's a guy who's been around, who's tested, who led your team in sacks a couple of years ago. So, former walk-on. Joe Tryon's a guy who I think played a lot better as the season went progressed last season. So mm-hmm. I think everyone's kind of looking at him as like, okay, maybe this could be a breakout type of year for him. And Nagata has always showed well. It just, he doesn't really have the size. So they've actually tested him a little bit on the inside linebacker spot as well. So I think if you're looking at an area, like I think like Mitch was saying, we know we've recruited well. We've got some proven commodities on that interior on the defensive line. I think it's this outside linebacker, edge rusher type where I think we kind of – I need to see it in order to believe it because yeah. we've had a couple of years where it hasn't looked great.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I think that the interesting part is I feel like these guys could be the position on the team that has the biggest chip on their shoulder. Like on a lot of the articles that I've read, you know, like these are the ones that are like kind of like, hey – you know, I think, what is it? I think Joe Tryon or Nagata had the quote of like, we were pitiful last year. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, like, yeah, you know, they're right, ready. Yeah, they're fired right. up, right? And so where I like the, that, you know, the like they're motivated,
sucks, yeah.
you know. So, you know, I'm excited. You know, Tryon feels like, sounds like I'm hearing all the right things about him. Mm-hmm. Really took a step forward, started transforming his body a little bit. Nagata, like hearing a lot of good stuff about him too, his speed, quickness, all that kind of stuff. So we'll see.
You know, step up.
All right. This is definitely, I mean, just to get back, these guys are all, I think, pretty experienced at this point. I mean, Bowman, you know, Patoa'e, Onwuzurike, those guys have all been kind of with your program for a few years. Nagata, Tryon definitely got on the field last year. This is a lot more experience than the other positions we're about to talk about. So
yeah.
If anything else, you can hang your hat on that.
Let's talk about these. So they're inside linebackers filling up the middle. We get, you know, look at the BBKs are gone. Brandon Willington, Kyler Manu, probably your starters there. MJ Tafisi, a lot of talk about him. And then Jackson Sermon, of course. Daniel Hambouli, I think we do hear a little bit about him as well. DJ Beaver's medically retired. That guy will be a Husky for life. But let's talk a little bit about, so Wellington, big time recruit, if you remember back in the day. That was a huge sign for us. Kyler Manu, Tafisi, what do you think about the inside? How are we going to stuff up the run?
Yeah, I think Wellington's kind of the guy you look to and say, okay, this is your group now. You got to lead the way. And I, you know, reading what he's saying, he's getting that vibe too. He's got to be one of the leaders of your defense. What concerns me most is really the depth, because when you start to talk about, you know, him and Manu's maybe taking that step forward in the other inside spot, you lost DJ Beavers. But after that, I mean, it starts to get thin quickly. We could see Jackson Sermon on the field, you know. I mean, that's a guy who we've never seen before. So a redshirt freshman, you know. This spot is thin and it's inexperienced, so I think it's going to be tough to know until we see it. One guy, though, I think that bears mentioning is Edufuan Ulofoshio, causing two fumbles last year on special teams.
Yeah.
Everyone's saying he's looking great. It's another walk-on product that, you know, this is the spot. If you're going to be an impact player as a walk-on, like, he's got the timing and opportunity right now to make a step forward. I wouldn't be shocked to see him on the field.
Who's going to be that next guy? 2 years ago, we weren't talking about BBK. He had a nickname.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so who's going to be that next guy?
You know, and I think this is the example of this program developing guys
right.
Yep. And so you want to see... you know, like that guy stand up. I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name. That was an excellent work there.
Thank
excellent
you.
Work, Law Dog.
there
we go. Or Manu, right? Like you want to see, that's the kind of guy that now, hey, now's your time, man. Step up, take it by the reins and
take this opportunity and run.
Bingo. And you put in the time, you put in the preparation. That's where you're kind of hoping. And then, you know, some of those younger guys can maybe season a little bit. This is where if you're really building a program that's banging on all cylinders, you get a little bit of that, and that's what I'm looking for in this position.
Yeah, and it bears mentioning. I mean, we lost two really highly recruited guys at this position, right? Camilo Eifler took off, transferred.
To Illinois.
And then you got MJ or Brandon Ale. Brendan Aho.
Aho.
Who didn't never enrolled, and you know, some potentially shady circumstances there.
But
you know, those guys would be
amazing.
Those guys would be 3 or 4 year starters right now if they had stuck around. So you know, you can't win them all. This is an area where I think we've got a combination of guys who maybe didn't cut the mustard on the recruiting side, but they have a real opportunity. So it's to Mitch's point. Did they develop? Did the coaches get them ready to get on the field?
Should we talk about the death row DBU?
Yeah,
let's
DBU.
Get into it, buddy. Let's get it. Let's get into it. So, cornerbacks by Keith Taylor and Elijah Molden, the ones. Julius Irving, Dominique Hampton is potentially the twos. Let's just go through this and then talk about the whole group, okay? So, if you look at our nickel, Miles Bryant, I mean, there's your leader coming back, right?
Yeah.
Kyler Gordon, the backup. Your safeties, Brandon McKinney, Julius Erving. I will say Julius Erving was a physical specimen up close, man. Holy smokes. Isaiah Gilchrist, I mean, that there's your player of the spring game all over the place.
Two picks.
And Cameron Williams being your backup. And then, look, if there's a freshman that's going to come in, and, you know, think of what Asa Turner can do. You know, it's hard not to just say that you just trust in whoever. I feel like I could read 10 names I've never heard of, and I trust in our coaching staff to get these guys ready. They just have been so incredible at filling the void. But what do you think?
Well, we know they've been highly recruited, right? Keith Taylor is a guy who has actually played a fair amount and has held his own out there. You know, he was matching up with Arcega Whiteside 2 years ago, right? So he's ready. He's going to get one of these spots. You know Miles Bryant is coming back, and he is going to get one of these spots. Now, Christian Capel of The Athletic had a very interesting take on this in his breakdown of the depth chart. And he said, I feel like Taylor is going to get one of those corner spots. Then Miles Bryant is going to either be the free safety or be the nickel, and then Molden will either be the other side corner from Taylor or the nickel. So he feels like those three guys are definitely on the field for most of the time, and then whether or not the safeties kind of work out and they need to bring in Dom Hampton to be that fourth corner. But it sounds like Julius Erving, to your point, I think he's going to definitely be a factor in this. Brandon McKinney's a guy who we saw in the Rose Bowl and maybe left us a little disappointed, wanting a little bit more there. So, you know, I think the safety spot is kind of – that's where it's really wide open. But I think you got three corners you can really trust.
And gosh, like, you're just excited to see some of these guys out there, right? Like, you know, it's time. It's Kyler Gordon time, man. I'm pumped. Get that athleticism out there, right? And it sounds like he's really been progressing. Oh, yeah. And then Cam Williams comes into practice. True freshman. What is he, 18 maybe? Or is he 17? He might be still 17 or 18.
Hasn't even gone to prom.
Shows up, and he's like, I love it. Everybody else is going to class, and he's just in film study, checking it out, and he's looking great out there. Everybody's like, hey, he's fitting right into this mold. And then you got Asa Turner coming in too. So, gosh, they're in such a good spot, guys. This is going to be an exciting secondary. Yep. I hate to say it, but I don't hate to say it, actually. This is going to be another strength this year. It's going to be really darn exciting to watch this group, and I'm not expecting much of a drop-off, which is insane to say, but I think they're going to have a ton of talent out there, and they're going to flash it.
Miles Bryant really has got the tread on the tires. He's your experienced guy. Taylor's been out there. He's fine. Elijah Molden, that's a guy who, you know, best
baller.
Hands in the room.
Yeah.
So those three guys I do really trust. I think, to your point, we can roll out any combination of these guys, and we trust that our coaches have the talent in that room to make it happen. So I don't think I'm worried about this one.
I think they're going to be very solid. Again, I mean, it's such an absolute strength that I think we can keep coming back to year after year. I think it's going to be pretty interesting. Jimmy Lake, I mean, he just deserves it, you know? I mean,
all the contract talk, all that kind
Husky
of stuff.
Husky fans are enjoying while we have him. Yeah. You know? I mean, he's
highest paid assistant in the Pac-12 now.
He's destined for head coaching. He's such a great recruiter, great guy, and just develops these kids. So enjoy it while we can, and I feel good with whatever unit we've got in his hands while we do it. And again, I think they're going to be great. Special teams, let's talk about it real quick. So, I mean, I guess if there's good news, everybody returning, and we only got one way to go but up. Joel Whitford, the punter, with, I guess, Race Porter as well, as the backup. We brought them both in, very different styles of punting.
And they both got about an equal number of reps.
And they both got about the equal number of reps, that's right.
It's fair to say we might be seeing them both kind of in that, you know, platoon that we
That's right,
yeah. Whitford was a little weird last year. Like, I think something happened.
I felt like he regressed. He had some injuries.
Yeah, he had some injuries, but something happened, right? Like, he started off, I thought, pretty well, and then it kind of, the train went off the tracks a little bit. So I'm hoping they can get that straightened out.
Absolutely. And then, you know, look, Peyton Henry, you know, I think it's tough because we always remember him for that you know, the missed against Oregon. But his actual numbers, if you just look at him on paper, weren't that bad, particularly from mid-range. But
They need
to stretch him out. And then Tim Horn, you know, the recruit out of Punahou, who's coming in. We haven't seen him. He's not here for spring, but I would love to see what that guy can do.
And our touchback percentage went up a lot last year, too. I think that's something else to keep, you know, keep in your back pocket. I think the kicking game will improve. It's got nowhere to go but up, like you said.
It has to. And, you know, whether our returners, Fuller, McGrew, Akbando, these guys are all going to get some touches. I mean, I think nowhere to go but up. Love to see some more consistency in the kicking game, and really want to see these guys improve. But
we could see McClatcher in a return.
We could
as well.
That'd be great.
It sounds like he's looking pretty good. So nice. I mean, let's hope so. I think that's a guy who, you know, we're talking about all these incoming guys, guys we're excited to see for the first time. McClatcher's a guy I would just like to see end on a high note. He was really a highly recruited player, an exciting player to watch.
Yeah.
And it's his fifth year, senior year. Whatever happened, the coaches, you know, are glad and happy to have him back. No harm, no foul. Let's see him end on a high note and have a really good year. And it'd be awesome if he took one back this year.
Totally agree. I mean, he's a local kid too, right? Was he Federal Way? Yeah. So, I mean, gosh, as a Husky fan, you just got to be rooting for that story to turn out on a positive note.
I'd love to see it. Guys, so that's our, you know, that really is our depth chart, our analysis of what we think these Huskies are going to look like next year, position by position. Let's talk just a little bit about recruiting. Look, you have to talk about little bit of a hit, but overall we can talk about what the recruiting is looking like.
Yeah, so Savelle Smalls is what you're hinting at there. He's kind of one of the highest recruited players to ever come out of Washington State, right? He's top five player in the nation being recruited by everybody. He's been on unofficial visits to LSU, Florida. And, you know, for a time it looked like he was excited to be kind of the hometown hero. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so just as spring practice was wrapping up, I think he kind of came out to the media and said, I'm actually eliminating Washington. He didn't do like an updated list, like I'm narrowing it from 12 to 8 or whatever. He just said, I'm eliminating Washington. So, you know, I don't really know what the story is there. We definitely have heard some rumors and whatnot about whether or not he's connecting with the coaches or whether or not, you know, they're the kind of the right coaches to recruit a player like this. I think if we get too wrapped up into one player, and it, granted, it's a huge player, it's a local guy, a five-star talent. I mean, you know, we just don't see him that often in Seattle. I mean, you maybe get one every few years.
Right.
And we've seen a lot of them, you know.
We've missed on a lot of them.
Yeah. So it really hurts. You feel like you had the right combination of the coaches, the success of the team, and, you know, just the passion to bring this guy in. And, you know, it hurts. But I just don't think we can get too, you know, wrapped up on losing. He is just one player. And, yeah, he'd be a big one. But you know, we got to move on. I mean, he can't help you anymore. So, I mean, that doesn't mean the coaches will stop recruiting him. I think they need to keep recruiting him. But, you know, you need to accept the fact that if he's not coming your way, hey, a spot's open for somebody else, and let's find that next great player.
I think the other thing, too, is to step back and look at this class all up. There are a ton of top 10 guys from the state of Washington. It's not just Smalls, right? Like, it's been in years past.
Yeah, this
where
is
like,
kind of a bumper crop.
Very interesting class. So, you know, yes, they missed on that guy, but if they can land, you know, a couple of these other guys, I think everything will just turn out fine. And, hey, guys, like, just keep recruiting the islands like they've been doing. There's a bunch of other areas that have been very positive here. Yeah, it hurts, but if they can regroup with some of the other kids in the class, I think they'll be just fine.
And BT, you'll remember when we went to the recruiting banquet and I asked Coach Peterson and I said, Coach, are you worried about other teams encroaching on the Pac-12 territory? And he said, there are enough, to paraphrase him, he's comfortable that there's enough guys in our recruiting footprint that we don't have to, you know, sweat it out with the Big Ten and other SEC conferences encroaching. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know that I totally agree with that, but that's from the coach's mouth.
Certainly Wilner disagrees with that point.
Certainly you have some disagreement.
Yeah, I think the only thing I'll say with Smalls is, you know, I think it was as much as you'd love to have that type of talent or what he is projected to be on your team, it became more of a litmus test of where the program is that, you know, in years past, and I think under all of the last coaching regimes for much time, you look at me like, we're not getting this guy. We're not getting him. He's, you know, this guy's going to Notre Dame. Like, he's going to Ohio State. And now we felt like, wow, with where the program is, he's got to stay home, right? I mean, shoot, this is where we are. So it became this, like, litmus test of where we are as Husky Nation. And in the end, I think, will he work out as a player? I don't know. But I also don't think it is the true litmus test of where the program is, that we don't win this one guy. And to go back, if you're a Husky football fan, don't tweet at this guy. Don't take your frustration as a fan out on him. It doesn't reflect on you. And the same thing with, like, of Husky Nation, like, people saying, like, oh, this is horrible. This is the thing to come. Yeah. Like, the OKG thing's not working out. Chill out.
Yeah.
Things are great in Husky Nation right now.
Enjoy it.
And enjoy it. If you can't enjoy this, you can't enjoy it being a sports fan where we are right now as a program.
If you care enough to care whether Savelle Smalls comes to University of Washington, then that means you're a pretty big Husky fan yourself, probably. Mm-hmm. Do you think it helps or hurts the program for you to get on Twitter and start bashing him or start bashing, you know, just
the coaching staff for not getting him.
Yeah, bring negativity into the fold. Like, just, you know, these are the bumps and bruises of recruiting. Give me one school that always nails every single in-state recruit that's ever, you know, sprung out of the ground. It just doesn't happen.
Right.
You know, so some guys just want to get away. Some guys don't connect with certain coaches. It just happens. I mean, the last guy, he really kind of reminds me most of like Reggie Williams, you know, mm-hmm. or like a guy who was just being recruited everywhere, Michigan, Florida State, you know, mm-hmm. all those programs. We kept him home and he was an awesome Husky. And, you know, he had some problems after that, but but he was a great guy, and we will have another guy like that. Austin Seferian Jenkins, Kaysen Williams, those guys could have gone anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there will be others.
Right.
Yeah, there definitely will be. And I think I like the way the class is still shaping up as it is. I like the how we're doing this, where we have like 40 offers out and Oregon has 250. I like right. where our offers Good actually joke. Mean something. Believe in the program and enjoy it as fans, guys. This is not the end of the world. And for him, certainly as like a 16, 17-year-old kid, I hope he finds the right place yeah. for him. That's a great fit and it works out.
And maybe best he'll change his mind and come to UW.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
Know, best
that's
of luck, right?
And
you never know.
And you know what? Maybe we were saying a lot of the same things about Jacob Eason.
Right. Yep. Transfer portal is a funny thing, man. Yeah, you never know.
Did you want to talk a little bit about the scholarships, Tuttle?
Well, I just wanted to mention that, you know, we had Josiah Bronson, who we talked about, and then John Clark. Those guys got, you know, you've had a little bit of attrition, a little bit of turnover. You had a medical retirement, DJ Beavers. You're having to get a couple guys transfer. So those guys were able to walk on and get scholarships, and I just think it's worth mentioning because the walk-on program, I think, has been a really big success and a big reason why we've been able to kind of maintain that consistency. You know, you've gotten a couple of guys who have been starters. So I look at that and I just tip my cap to those guys who were able to do that. And hopefully we'll see a lot more of them now that you know, the coaches have rewarded them for a reason. So I hope we get to see more of that.
That's right. Congratulations to him as well. And I think it is a testament to the state of the program. Last thing we're going to talk about, and guys, we will be back this summer. We're going to have preview of the North, preview of the South, and a full breakdown of our predictions as to what we think the winners and losers will be and what games really concern us. But just looking at the schedule, because we haven't had a podcast since the schedule's come out, an interesting one for the pack. Everybody gets two byes. It's kind of one of those weird years like that. We start off Eastern Washington at home Labor Day weekend. The second one, again, a weird schedule. We have a Pac-12 game right off the bat, Cal at home. Then we go back for a non-conference, Hawaii at home. And then our third at BYU, so we're heading down to Provo. And then the next one, this is really big. You better be ready for this. You got USC at home on the 28th and on the 28th of September at Stanford. Boy, you got to circle that one. I mean, that stretch right there. And then we're heading down to Arizona, the Dog Pod and crew. I think there's going to be, is my last count, probably 40 or 50 of us getting tickets together. So there will be a big Husky contingency. Next one, Oregon at home. Circle that one. Then we've got the bye. Then we host Utah. This is a stretch. I mean, this is just a stretch.
Yeah, that October stretch is brutal.
That's right. At Oregon State, bye. At Colorado.
I believe that Oregon State game, that's our second road game in a row.
That's right.
Okay.
Second road game in a row, and that's a short one. And then Wazoo for the Apple Cup at home this year on Friday of Thanksgiving week, and then the Pac-12 Championship, of course, by the end of the week. So just looking at that thing, again, obviously, murderer's row there, if there is one to say, between those games at Stanford, at Arizona, because we hate playing and the Desert Dogs, and then Oregon and Utah. At least we got them at home.
Yeah,
those four in a row. I mean, well, USC. Those five in a row is murderer's row right there.
Yeah, no, you got to like at least the schedule at home, right?
Yeah,
that's a difference. The home schedule's good. The byes come kind of late in the year where they're going to help us, I think. Mm-hmm. I am sneaky worried about that Cal game in week two. I think there's a lot of gelling that still needs to happen, and that's a team that beat us last year.
They are kind of like our Achilles heel, dude. They know our system so well. Wilcox, ton of respect for him.
I we might get out of that game, you know, 19-9, and that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm sneaky worried about that game. And then, like BT mentioned, you know, you go to BYU, where I think we should be able to take care of business. That was probably our best win last year.
Yeah, we pounded those dominant guys.
But then you come home against SC. SC is in the mid. That's kind of the beginning arc of a brutal stretch for SC. I mean, Clay Helton is going to be like on the hot seat for that game. So that's going to be a big one.
Well, in my prediction is Reggie Bush is going to be coaching the team by that point.
Bring it back.
But then I think your sneaky tough stretch right there, and it's maybe not that sneaky, at Stanford, then we're going to Tucson. That's brutal. I mean, you know, this is a team that we've still got to gel a lot here, you know, and we mentioned the second road game in a row with Oregon State. You know, that could have been a sneaky one, but I'm glad that we've got a second road game in a row on a short week. I'm glad it's Oregon State.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to me, that's good. The Apple Cup at home. I think this is a schedule that could work itself out very well, and the Huskies could show very well.
Yeah, I mean, and the only thing you'd say, because of this was the other side of the Wisconsin year where Wisconsin backed out, you have no margin for error.
Yep.
You know, and you've got Hawaii, Eastern Washington, and BYU, and BYU is one of those teams that just I hate seeing it as a road game on the schedule because you get absolutely no points for beating the crap out of them. BYU or Provo is a tough place to play because they recruit such a different breed of individual down there with the age and everything, and you never know what you're going to get. It's one of those ones I just hate. It's like don't schedule North Dakota State. It's not going to do you any favors. Mm-hmm. You know, they're always going to play you tough. There's just no winning in those. But
yeah, and I think because Wisconsin backed out, I think maybe they just felt like they needed something there. I don't know if that was on the schedule already, but I mean, that's a game that we've always kind of traditionally played is at home and home with BYU. I agree. It doesn't really add much. It certainly didn't add much to us last year. I mean, they beat Wisconsin, and then the next week we pounded them. And yeah, I don't think that gave us much, even though that was probably our best win of the season. I do think Chris Peterson's teams are a lot more well prepared on the road than I've seen from previous coaches. I feel like we're going to take care of business on some of these road games, but you know, the back to back games do frighten me a little bit. I just think that's a tough trap situation.
Yeah, you know, but I certainly also feel like we're in the driver's seat once again in the North looking at this schedule, right? Like we're lined up pretty darn well. Like, you know, I for some of those other years of like, just, man, you know, the back-to-back road games, the Friday night mm-hmm. stuff, like all of that garbage, right? Like, this just feels like this is manageable.
Well, in the home schedule too, of like, so we get USC, Oregon, Utah, and Wazoo at home. Who would you trade those for? None of them. Like, are you gonna play Utah on the road so that I switch it with Colorado at home? No way. I've got the home schedule that I want. Mm-hmm. You know, for whatever reason, we've had trouble at Stanford, and they're a good program. And for whatever reason, the Desert Dogs, we have struggled in the state of Arizona. Yeah. But I do think that this is an Arizona program that's not going to be in very good shape. The talent gap should be a big delta between the two of us. But I don't know. I like the way this team is looking coming out. I feel good about the schedule.
I agree. And like Utah at home is good. Like those Utah games have been nail biters now for the last 3-4 years.
Even the home games.
Right? So, you know.
And we've been succeeding winning the North by running the table at home. Mm-hmm. So you don't have your I mean, you know, you're talking about the margin of error of the national perception and, you know, we're not playing anybody. I want to win the North.
Mm-hmm.
I look at this team. I think there's a little bit too much rebuilding going on to be able to say we're going to compete for a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. That's not where I'm seeing it. Let's just win the North. I want to knock the Ducks out of there. I don't want them winning the North. The Cougs, like, this is our division. This is our conference. It's winnable again. Let's go win it again.
That's right.
Go
get it. I want to go down one last time to Santa Clara and scalp a pair of $6 seats an hour before the game
for an all-you-can-drink buffet.
For the last time so that we can go to Vegas in 2 years. That's my plan for this year. Guys, what a great time to be a dog.
Love it.
Love it, guys. Feeling good about this year?
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
All right, let's be back this summer. Go Dogs.
Woof.